Amen. Remain standing if you would. I'd like to ask you to remain standing and pray with me, please. God Almighty, as we get to this part of our message, we call the word, the sermon. Here's what I'm asking for, Lord Jesus, that each of us will hear from you in a way that draws us closer to you. I thank you for the privilege to speak today, but what I really ask is that you will be heard from this day, this hour, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Before you're seated, why don't you look around, and if there's someone you haven't met yet, this is a good chance to greet them and say hello and introduce yourself. And I'm going to add something to that also, and that is, while you're greeting one another, if there's someone that serves in this ministry and you want to thank them for their service, maybe it's in the finance department, maybe it's in the groundskeeping department, maybe it's phone receptionist, maybe it's ushers, maybe it's one of the pastors, maybe it's someone who works on the media arts team, someone who teaches in children's church, probably won't be able to thank them unless you lead a sanctuary, but just greet one another, thank one another, say hello to one another, and if you don't know somebody's name, ask it. If they don't know your name, tell them. Just take a few moments. Take a few moments and say hello and greet each other. Don't rush. Look across the room. Maybe there's someone you haven't met yet. Someone you want to say hello to. Amen. Amen. Let's make our way back to our seats. And what I'm excited about is that we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. You may be seated. This is my first time in the... do I need a new battery in this? Or do I just need to use the other mic? We'll try it for a while, and if it doesn't clear up, we'll... This is my first time in the pulpit since I was in the hospital. And I am so glad to be here. And I'm really thankful for your prayers and for your cards, for your messages, but most of all for your love. And when you have what turned out to be just a lot of pain is all it was. I didn't have a heart attack. I didn't have a stroke. But when you go to the emergency room and you don't know that, you can't help but think, Is this all I get to do? Is this the way my story ends? And those of you who are 50 plus have started to think of that a little more often than those of us who are 40 or under. And if you're real young, this might sound odd to you that I would even suggest that you think about the end of your race. But how many of you have started to realize that you're closer to the end than you are the beginning? We're going to talk today about being thankful, and as you're thankful for things, and as you start thinking about the importance of this race you're running and this race of life, there's different ways to say it. But let's try this one. If you could give a warning to the world, something that you want to make sure they know, what would it be? I mean, if you could tell the whole world, be careful about this, what would it be? When we were together for Thanksgiving, we were talking about different warnings that you find on labels, and the ones we were talking about at our house at Thanksgiving were sort of humorous. Holly brought one up. She said on an over-the-counter medication, it said, if you lose consciousness, contact your doctor immediately. On the Duraflame log, you know those fire starter logs, it says, caution, risk of fire. You think? On a Batman costume that you could buy for Halloween, it says, caution, cape does not enable wearer to fly. On a bottle of liquid hair color, it says, do not use as ice cream topping. On a cardboard sunshield for your car, the caution is, caution, do not drive while sunshield is in place. And the last one that I saw as I was looking up some of these cautions is on a baby stroller. It said, caution, remove baby before folding and storing stroller. So if you could come up with a warning for others, I don't know what it would be, but I could tell you what mine would be. Warning. A failure to express thanks to God and to others will limit the power of your life and the power of your influence. Yeah, I want to talk to you about being thankful today. The power of being thankful. There are many studies that prove that those who express their thankfulness to God and to others are happier, more fulfilled, even healthier. Three of them I saw as I Googled this topic. The first is from Psychology Today, The Benefits of Being Thankful. The second on ABC News Report recently, The Science of Being Thankful. And the third one that I'll share with you today is in the New York Times, Studies Show the Benefits of Being Thankful. Well, here's the fact. The impact of your life will be greater if you learn to say thank you. Thank you. Some of us say it naturally. Some of us say it often. Some of us think it more than we say it. Recently, the Pope was speaking. How many of you saw that on the news? The one where the little boy came up to him while he was talking. Did some of you see that on the news? He was speaking, and the little boy came up and hugged his leg while he was talking, and he just patted him on the head and continued. He didn't skip a beat. And the little boy stayed there for a while, and then they came and retrieved him. But in that talk, the Pope said, and this is a piece that I saw on the news, he said that today's families need to learn to say three things. Please, I'm sorry, and forgive me. And I would add to that list, today's families need to say thank you. It's something we need to say more often because it helps remind us of how blessed we are. Scott said in the opening today that we live in a blessed land. Most of us in this sanctuary aren't going hungry. I didn't say you're not having tough times. Some of us are struggling. But most of us aren't going hungry. I remember the day, and it left an indelible mark in my thought process, and I'm thankful for it. Pastor Ulysse was preaching, and he shared that, he said, how many of men age 25 or older in this room can remember 3 days in a row when you didn't eat any solid food because there wasn't any solid food to eat? Not a three-day fast. How many of you can think of a time, Pastor Lewis, you remember when you challenged us with that? How many men over the age of 25 can remember 3 days where you didn't have any solid food to eat? And none of us raised our hands. He said, I'm confident that if you ask that question to a group like this in Haiti, not a single man over the age of 25 would be able to keep his hand down. They all know at least 3 days in a row where they haven't had any food to eat. Because it just wasn't there. Talking about being thankful today and the power of being thankful today. And let's look today at a miracle of Jesus and see what a leper from Samaria can teach us about being thankful. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 17 and read verses 11 through 19. Talking about this final journey of Jesus. Let's read it out loud together. You can look at it on the screen or open your Bibles if you want. Let's start together and say it out loud, all of us at the same time. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go back with me and look at verse 11, if you would. I want to focus on this for a moment. Verse 11 said, And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I have two maps here. I want to show you the first one is what would be the route that you would go if you were going from Galilee to Jerusalem. Can you see Jerusalem there in the bottom, just above Judea? Okay. Well, if you were in Galilee, you could go to the second map. Let's see. This one will route what Jesus's path. Do you see where the River of Jordan is on that map? From the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, that's the River of Jordan. Well, if you were going from Capernaum down to Jerusalem, you could go straight through Samaria. But there's an issue with the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. That's an understatement. You see, after returning from exile, the Samaritans had intermarried. They adopted some strange worship practices. They were considered by the Jews to be dogs, and the Samaritans and the Jews didn't have any interaction with each other. They avoided each other. But it's interesting to note that when Jesus is going, what did it say? Go back to verse 11, if you would, please, for a moment. And we look at verse 11, and we say, And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria. When Jews traveled that route, they go back to map 2, they went around Samaria. And the reason is because they didn't want to see the Samaritans. But Jesus wanted to see the Samaritans. Jesus had a reason to go that way. He's going to go to Jerusalem on his final journey. He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Instead of avoiding Samaria, he chooses to go right through it. Note in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, when he said, And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, that's the journey we're talking about, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And the reason that it says that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem is because he knew where he was going and he knew why he was going there. He wasn't just out for a ride. He wasn't just out for a journey. He knew where he was going and he knew why he was going, and he set his face steadfastly and he went that way. And so it's interesting to note that he's going to do what the others didn't do and take the route around Samaria, but he's going to go right through it. And this is interesting too. If you want to highlight this, just one more piece, go to John chapter 4 and verse 4, and we read here that he said he must needs go through Samaria. He didn't need to go through Samaria because that's the only route there was. He needed to go through Samaria because there was work to do in Samaria. Does that make sense? The people, of course, that lived in Samaria were the Samaritans. And that's where Jesus, in John 4:4, that's where he met the woman. It's talking about where he met the woman at the well. He didn't need to go to Samaria, but he needed to meet that woman, and that woman needed to meet Jesus. Amen? Talking today about being thankful. So Jesus is traveling south to Jerusalem by way of Samaria. Look at Luke 17, verses 11 through 17. We've read them now, but I want you to notice something, and it will go down to verse 12. Picture these 10 men. Picture these 10 lepers. Lepers were separated from everyone else. If you were a leper in that day, you lived with lepers. And non-lepers didn't visit you, and you didn't visit non-lepers. And back in that day, every exterior skin disease was called leprosy. They didn't distinguish between different, they didn't know. So if you had a skin disease, if you had a rash that was visible, it could be called leprosy and you could be separated. Now it's interesting to note that they cried out to Jesus. They're calling out to Jesus. We know at least one of these that was calling out to Jesus was a Samaritan. And remember the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews. Why would he do that? Why would they cry out to Jesus? Because, why would they cry out to Jesus? They didn't just say, excuse me, could you ask Jesus to come over here? Why did they cry out? Why did they yell? Why did they try to get Jesus' notice? They wanted to get healed. What made them think Jesus could do it? Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And here we find something very interesting. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face. It's not the same story. This is different. This preceded that. Fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Go down to verse 15, same chapter. Jesus didn't want the word to go out, not then, not at that time. It would have been better if it hadn't, but it happened. But so much the more they went there, a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. Jesus healed the leper. News was out. You think these lepers heard about that? I think so. I think that they heard that Jesus had cleansed the leper, and when they heard Jesus was coming by, when they heard Jesus was traveling that way, nothing was going to keep them from getting his notice. Nothing was going to keep them from getting his attention. When you have an urgent matter that's life or death, you do things you otherwise wouldn't do. And so these 10 lepers, they're crying out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Note verse 14, what does Jesus tell him? We're in Luke 17 now, verse 14. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest. Wait a minute. What did Jesus say to do? Say it out loud. Go and show thyself to the priest. Go and show thyself to the priest. What hasn't happened? They still looked the same. They still felt the same. There was no change in these men. The only thing Jesus did at this point was say, go show yourself to the priest. You think one of them might have said, excuse me, Jesus, we want to go show ourselves. And this is important. You got to understand that the priest in that day had the authority, and it was only the priest that had the authority to say whether a leper had to be in the leper colony, or he could be free. In other words, if you had a slight rash on your skin, the priest could look at it and say, no, you're clean. You could stay here. That's going to heal. You're all right. You're not contagious. Or the priest could look at it and say, that's leprosy. Go in with the lepers. So the priest could say whether you were clean, which meant you were free, or the priest could say you were unclean, which meant you were not free. And so notice when Christ says to go, they weren't healed yet. But they obeyed. Go show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. What's verse 15 say? But so much as the more they went, there went a fame abroad to him. The great multitudes came together to hear. Verse 15. I did something wrong. Luke 17. I did that wrong. I gave it to you wrong there. But let's go to Luke 17. And what happened is they went on their way in Luke 17. What happened is they went on their way. You got it? What happened as they went on their way? Talk to me. Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass, we're in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. What were they doing when they were cleansed? They were obeying. They took action. When Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, were they cleansed? Depends on whether you want to talk about by faith or not, but their skin hadn't changed. They couldn't see any change, right? But as they went, it says in the second part of verse 14, they were cleansed. So Christ tells them to go. They weren't healed. They obeyed. Now let me talk to you. What do we do when Jesus tells us to do something? Do we say, well, I'm going to wait and see? Or do we obey? What do we do? I'm preaching to you now. What do you do when Jesus says forgive? What do you do when Jesus says to love? What do you do when Jesus says go the extra mile? Well, I'm waiting to see how they react first. I'm waiting to see how they treat me first. Hello. Jesus tells us to have faith. Well, we'll see. I'll wait till I get the paycheck. Then I'll believe it's coming. Hello. What happens when Jesus tells us to do something? When we obey, that's when miracle happens. You want a miracle in your life? Go when Jesus tells you to go. Stay when Jesus tells you to stay. Forgive when Jesus tells you to forgive. Love when Jesus tells you to love. Go the extra mile when Jesus tells you to go the extra mile. You say, Pastor, I thought you were going to talk to me about being thankful. Now you're telling me I have to do what the Lord says. It's part of the process of being thankful. A lot of people want Jesus to be their Savior, but not everybody wants Jesus to be their Lord. Hello? Tell me you love me. Say, I love you, Pastor. I love you too. Amen. But you didn't come to church for me to tell you jokes, did you? You came to church so I could tell you the truth. Amen? Because that's what's going to make us free. So as we go, as we obey, that's when the miracles happen. Let's look in Luke 17, verses 15 through 19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And he whispered. No? With a loud voice. And when in a loud voice, he glorified God. With a loud voice, he glorified God. So there's four lessons that we learn when we look at being thankful. The first of those four is that thankfulness begins. Thankfulness begins with awareness and humility. You see, this leper was aware of what happened. He knew he had been healed. And he was humble. He didn't say, look what I did. He turned to thank the one who did it. You see, the lepers all knew they were lepers. And the lepers all knew that Jesus was able to heal them. But one of them returned to thank him. They'd heard of Christ healing others. They wanted to be healed. And when they cried out, Master, this is an indication of how much they knew who they were crying out to. The Greek word for master means stand over. And stand over in authority and stand over in ability to do what needed to be done. And they called Jesus Master so that he could stand over them as Lord and stand over their illness as the one who could heal it. Do we call him Master today? Do you really call him Master? When you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you really understand that he can be the Master over your life? And I understand that some of us, perhaps all of us, the word master has a negative connotation. We live in the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? I get it. I don't want someone to be my master, right? If I have a boss at work, I don't want to call him master. When I was in the Navy, I had some people I had to call sir. Some of them was just because of the uniform they were wearing, and some of them I really respected. Somebody say amen. Don't let me stand up here all alone. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. So I understand that the word master can have a negative connotation. But they understood who Jesus was, and they understood what Jesus could do. We're talking about being thankful today, so I want to ask you, do you understand who Jesus is? And do you want him to be your Lord? Do you want him to be the one that takes authority in your life, or do you want to hold on to it? Because he gives us free will. He gives us that chance. So when we pray for healing, when we pray for help in finances, we pray for help in our family, when we pray for help in anything, we need to declare the authority of Jesus and declare that he is master and he's the one that has the authority to stand over our needs. Remember in Matthew 28, when Jesus said, all power is given unto me. I think it's verse 18. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Yeah, thank you. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not most, not some, all. Amen? And just for context, remember when that was. That was after the death, burial, and resurrection. And he came back to give what was the great, what we call the Great Commission. And he said, look, I want you to know who I am. I know who I am. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that's what David was saying. Let's look at Psalm, the eighth division of Psalms. And when you look at that, let's do verses 1 through 4. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? When we understand who God is, we get this sense of gratitude for the gift that God is in our life. And there's a difference between gratitude and entitlement. When we have gratitude, it's because we know something was given to us. If you go to a store and you buy something and you check out at the register and you hand them your money and they hand you the item that you just purchased and they put it in a bag so you can walk out of the store with your receipt, you don't say, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I just don't know how to tell you how appreciative I am of this, right? I mean, you might give them a polite thank you, but you reached in your pocket and you paid for that item, right? This happened to Debbie and I when we were in a grocery store. Debbie might know exactly where I'm going with this. I've already started, Debbie. Here it goes. We went to a grocery store, and we were ready to buy the groceries. We had the basket. We knew that our checking account was limited. We were using a debit card. I already started this, didn't I? And the cashier said, as she checked out our items, which came to something like $30, we were careful. We thought everything was right. Checked the balance. I wish I could tell you this was 1975, the first year we were married, but you know that's not true because they didn't have debit cards then. Cashier, as politely as she could, she said, this card's declined. Do you have any other method of payment? The answer was no. Do you have cash? The answer was no. Cashier couldn't have been nicer, was as discreet as possible, sort of whispered it. And I was at the end of the thing, putting in a bag the items that had been checked out, and I started taking them out of the bag and putting them back on the table after the conveyor belt. And the lady who had just checked out at the register next to us came over, and she handed Debbie two $20 bills. That's when you say thank you for the groceries. And Debbie and I both said no, perhaps out of embarrassment, I'm not sure exactly. And she said, no, I want to do this, please take it. And she gave us $40 and handed it to the cashier, and she gave us our change, and the lady said, keep the change. It's my joy to give it today. I remember when we got home that day and we unpacked the groceries, we said thank you. So I want to ask you, do you feel like you have a sense of gratitude or a sense of entitlement in your life? If it's entitlement, I'm asking you to think about it and replace it with a sense of gratitude. The second lesson we learned is that thankfulness recognizes the source of the blessing. Thankfulness always recognizes the source of the blessing. And when you write a thank you note, do you write to whom it may concern? No, you put the person's name on there, or the the person or the people that gave you the gift, right? That's what you're thanking them for. You want to know the source of your blessings. So when you say thank you, who do you say thank you for? Yes, Debbie and I were thankful for that lady in the grocery store, but we were thankful to our Heavenly Father who allowed someone to see our need and meet it. Amen? Amen? And if there's anybody out here you think, well, I'm a self-made man, God gave you what you made it with. Amen? I really think there is no self-made man because you had a mama. So if you think you're a self-made man, you better write your mama a thank you note, because she did something for you. So the 10 lepers, they knew the source of their blessing. They knew the source of their healing. And so that's what we read in verses 14 and 15 of Luke 17. And they were cleansed, and they were healed. And 9 of them got healed on the outside. Well, all 10 of them got healed on the outside, I should say. But 9 of them only got healed on the outside. But one of the lepers got healed on the inside. And it says that he perceived and he beheld. He perceived and he beheld. The Greek word for that is eido. It was more than being cleansed on the outside. He understood who did it. He understood what happened. He understood that he had been in contact with the Savior. He understood that he had made contact with the Lord. It was more than an outside thing. It was an inside-out job. James chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. The third lesson we learn about being thankful is that thankfulness focuses us and forms our heart. Thankfulness focuses us and it forms our heart. And this is really important because when we get it right, we're going to change who we are. In verse 15, we're in Luke 17, it said, with a loud voice. I don't know if those lepers had been yelling loud prior to that day, but we know they did that day. I have a feeling those lepers weren't a loud group. I don't know that I could prove that from the Scriptures, but I just have a feeling that they weren't screaming every day. I think they probably had a quiet existence. I just imagine that they were probably not screamers. But that day they were. That day they cried out and they said, Master. You know, you know quiet people, but every once in a while something big happens. My dad was sort of a quiet guy. My dad didn't yell very often. Tell my dad a good joke and he might go, ha ha, that's good. That's funny. Yeah, I like that. My dad wasn't a real loud guy. My dad, I'll give you an idea. I try to create his personality. He wasn't a real loud guy. I was 15 years old. I'd been saving up for, and I had purchased my first motorcycle. I purchased it in bushel baskets. I got a buddy of mine who had a pickup, helped me pick it up and brought it home, and it was stripped to the bare frame. A guy had bought it, and he was going to strip it down and put it back together, and he stripped it all down, took all the parts off of it, and lost interest, and I bought it from him. And so we got home, and we had 6 children in our family. We had turned our garage into a family room, so there was no garage in our house. And I thought, well, it wasn't good weather, so I thought this made a lot of sense. Being 15 years old and my enthusiasm about having a motorcycle, I took it up into my bedroom, and I had all the parts there. And my father came home after work, and he says, hello. Yeah, he'd say hello when he came into the house, and I said, I'm in my bedroom. And he walked in the bedroom, and I had the motorcycle in the middle of the room, and it was surrounded by bushel baskets full of parts. And he just stood there. He was holding his briefcase. He had a coat over his arm. I could picture it today. And he went. And he turned and walked out of the room. And I thought, oh, that went well. So about an hour later, we were eating dinner. And we were all gathered at the table. And he said, Peter, I want to ask you sort of a strange question. I said, okay, Dad. He said, I was in your bedroom a little while ago. Did I see a motorcycle in your bedroom? I said, yes, Dad. He said, thank God. I thought I was losing my mind. See, my dad wasn't a real loud guy, but every once in a while, he would get loud about something he was passionate about. He was passionate about golf. I remember my father would watch golf. Anybody here watch golf on television? I mean, couple of you. God bless you. God bless you. I mean, watching it live must be boring, but watching it on television. And my father would watch golf on television. And that was the one time you knew my father was fully engaged. You could be anywhere in the house. You could be outside of the house and you hear, "Go in the hole! Hole! Go in the hole! Oh! Oh!" There were times that he'd lose his mind over golf. I have a feeling these lepers were quiet most days of their life after they had become lepers. But that day they lost their mind. And they didn't care what it sounded like to anybody else. They were shouting out to Jesus and they wanted his attention. This guy came in verse 16. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus. He was being thankful. He showed gratitude. He said, "I know who healed me." He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. A Samaritan put himself at the feet of a Jew, and he said, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." I made reference to it at the beginning of the message. I was in the hospital for a few days. One of my neighbors, great guy, I love him. We've got great neighbors all around us, but one of them, he just a super guy. I love Vern. He was the first person we met when we moved into the neighborhood. And when I came home from the hospital, he came across the cul-de-sac as I was getting out of the car, and he said, "Pete, I've been so worried about you." Then he put his hand on my chest. He says, "How's your heart?" And I said, "I'm good, Vern." He said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I'm fine, Vern." He said, "Everything all right?" I said, "Yes, Vern." He said, "Anything I can do for you?" I said, "I'm okay, Vern." He said, "Can I pray for you?" And I said, "Sure, Vern." And he said, "I'm glad he's okay. Amen." It was a great prayer. I knew exactly what he meant. Amen? How do you cry out to God? Is it poetic? Is it quiet? Is it loud? Is it from the heart? Or have you gotten to a religious ritual that doesn't even let God hear you? You see, thankfulness does focus and form our heart. And that's why the writer in Jeremiah said in chapter 2 and verse 15, "They walked after vanity and they became vain." What you walk after, you become. What you seek after forms you. It shapes you. It changes you. Are you seeking after Christ? Are you following Christ? Are you crying out to Christ? Are you thankful to Christ? Or do you just come to church on Sunday morning and the rest of the week you just pretty much hope that God isn't upset with you? In John, 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 21. That whole chapter is about walking in the light. And notice what words he chooses in the last verse. Go to John, if you would, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. And, you don't have it. I probably gave it to you. We're stuck, aren't we? Use one of these computers right here. Okay, thank you. What does he say to him after all his teaching about walk in the light and walk after the Lord? What's his admonishment in the very last verse? He said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why is that? Because anything that gets between you and God becomes an idol. A car, a house, a career. Anything that becomes that gets between you and God is an idol. And if we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to have a close relationship with God, we can't let anything get between us and God. Amen? Amen? And today we're talking about being thankful. And some of us have got away from the most important thing to be thankful for, and that's our relationship with God. Amen? You know, I love my wife, Debbie. We've been married 38 years. We have three wonderful children. I love our children, Adam, Holly, and Heather. And John and Jonathan also. Holly and Heather are married. I love our family. But I've often said to Debbie, "You're the first human being in my life. No one before you, not even our children. Debbie is the most important human being in my life." but she's not my most important relationship. Because I can't be the best husband to my wife or father to our children if I don't have a right relationship with God. Amen? So he said, keep yourself from idols. Don't let anything get between you and God. When you're thankful, make it pure. Make sure you're not thanking God second, third, fourth, or fifth. Keep it first. Amen? Give to God what belongs to God. We need to let others know that God is good and He deserves our praise. That's why in Psalms 100, the first five verses, it says, and that may be all the verses. Let's look. I think it is. Does anybody know without looking? I think it's just five. Yep. So Psalms 100, all five verses. He talks about thanksgiving and praise. Thanks is what we give God for what He does, and praise is what we give God for who He is. Amen? So we should come to Him with both, thanking Him for what He does and thanking Him for who He is. Amen? We're talking about being thankful today. The fourth and final lesson we learn on thankfulness today is that thankfulness increases our intimacy and our trust. Thankfulness increases our intimacy and our trust. You know, when you're thankful and you express it to someone, it changes your relationship. It changes your relationship. Singers and musicians, can you get ready to come and remind me that I'm trying to close here? I have this plaque. Some of you might have seen it in my office. Snoopy. It's called the Super Dad Award. The Super Dad Award. I love this plaque. It says, for always being a super nice, super smart, super helpful, super sensational dad. Our son Adam gave it to me on Father's Day, 1986. This hangs in my office. 1986, it was the last year I would be in on my job before I would become full-time in the ministry. And so in my office in Chicago, I had several plaques and awards on the wall, which is what they asked us to do with the plaques and the awards that the company gave us. And in the center of them, I had this plaque. The vice president came and visited me, and he was a pretty strong company man. And he said, what's that? Not, hey, Pete, what's that? It was, what's that? And I said, well, that's my Super Dad Award, John. He said, where'd you get that? And I said, well, my son gave it to me for Father's Day. My son's 5 years old. And I love that plaque. He said, take it down. So I did. When he came into my office the next day, and there was nothing on the wall, he said, where's your plaques? I said, I took them down. He said, I didn't tell you to take them all down, just the silly one in the center. And I said, that's the only one that mattered to me. You see, when you show gratitude to somebody, it changes your relationship. And I like that plaque, and that's the reason it's in my office still today. And by the way, if you're thinking I've never noticed it, it's where I see it when I'm looking at my computer. And I'm thankful for that. And that's the way our Heavenly Father feels when we show Him gratitude, when we show Him thankfulness. You see, in Luke 17, verses 17 through 19, the nine were cleansed on the outside, the one was cleansed on the inside. He was purified. He was changed from the inside out. Tough times can bring us to a more intimate relationship with Christ if we remain faithful and we remain thankful. Listen, as we close today, I just want to use this one analogy. Paul the Apostle wrote a lot about, I don't think I'm getting to that. Paul the Apostle talked a lot about life as a race. But as we close today, go ahead and start playing, if you would, and then I'll get out of your way in a moment. But for just a moment, instead of looking at life as a race that has a finish line, I want you to think about life as a parade. And the difference between the race and the parade is that in the race you focus on when it ends, right? But in a parade you focus on the moment that you're in. You focus on where you're at. You notice the people around you. And you want to make an impact on them right there. And I'm not against the idea of looking at life as a race. I've spent much of my life doing that. But as I prepared for this message today, I'd like to share that thought with you, that it's good once in a while to think of life as a parade. And be where you're at. And be thankful. Sometimes it's harder to be thankful than others because sometimes you're in a very rough spot in the parade. Remember one time we were in a parade and the van that was pulling the float caught on fire. It was a little hard to be waving at people. You know, they're trying to get fire extinguishers, the fire truck comes, and I'm just sort of on the float thinking, I hope the float doesn't catch on fire. But think of it that way. And be thankful for where you're at, even if it isn't the spot you want to be. Don't always look for the finish line. Don't always look for the end of this challenge. Look for the moment that you're in. And be blessed. And be a blessing. Close with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It's Apostle Paul writing, he said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior, whose knowledge by us in every place." Be thankful in every place, in every spot of your journey. Thankfulness is a way of life. It's what makes life joyful. There's power in being thankful. Ushers, you can come and take these away. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So what are you thankful for? Are you thankful for the day you're in? Are you thankful for the struggle? How recently have you thanked God? Let's stand together in the sanctuary. They're going to sing this and then we'll dismiss.